Hi, good morning. Can you hear us? Anybody? Can you hear us? All right. No, thank you. We want to welcome you to our service today. The weather is absolutely cooperating, right? But we're glad that we could be here. If you have an offering, you can drop off there on the table. Afterwards, there's a little sheet, our little thing to put your offering in, all right? Well, we're going to go right into our singing. We've got three songs, and then we're going to have our Bible study time. And people are going to join us online right now, so I'm going to turn it over to our worship group, and let's sing to the Lord.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God, seated on his throne. Come, let us adore. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Cal and Christine and Kim and Michael for all their help. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning or wherever you're at, whenever you're watching today, and locate Exodus chapter 15. We have a number that have joined us online. We want to welcome you as well this morning. Exodus chapter 15 will be our key text for today. Some words that I think will be encouraging, also challenging and motivating for each of us. You know, life really is a series of ups and downs. And if you look back over your life, maybe over the last few days, the last week, the last month, the last year, you can pick a time frame and go back to it, but your life has been full of mountaintop highs and probably some Death Valley lows. And we may think that those highs and lows are disconnected from each other, at best randomly connected in the chaos, but nothing could be further from the truth. And as we read through Scripture and work our lives into the eternal truths of the Bible, we're going to find that again and again and again. There is no randomness. There is no chaos. There is no disconnect. The good news is there is a loving, merciful, compassionate God who wants to speak into our life, bring us hope, bring us compassion, and bring us direction. The story is told of a pilot who's enjoying his flight when he is forced to make an emergency landing. He has success. He successfully lands alive in the desert. Still alive, but now stranded without water, his situation seems to be even more precarious than it was just moments before. He begins to trudge through the burning sand, one hill after another, till he comes across one more hill, and he gets to the top, and he looks over, and he stumbles across another person. Put yourself into that situation. It'd be very encouraging to find another human being out in the midst of desolation and isolation. This other man seems to be full of energy. And oddly, he offers to sell the stranded pilot a necktie. Now think about that. Put yourself in the position. Work your way into the conversation. What would you say to this desert necktie salesman? Well, the man's response is this: are you crazy? The pilot, are you crazy? I don't need a necktie. I need water. And that is the title of our study this morning. I need water. And wherever you're at this morning, can you just maybe repeat that phrase? I need water. Sir, I don't need your necktie. I need water. I'm going on my way. The salesman steps aside. The pilot moves on. Another sand dune or two later, he comes to the top. He looks down, and guess what he sees? He sees a magnificent sight. There in the middle of the desert, a huge restaurant. The parking lot is full. There are people everywhere, flashing lights. And for your doubters, for you skeptics, this is the real thing. This is the real deal. So he makes his way into the parking lot. He's on his last leg. He crawls up to the door. There's an attendant there at the door. And the pilot says to the door attendant, please, sir, help me. I need water. The attendant replies to him, good news, sir. We have plenty of water inside. But we do have a dress code. No one is admitted to the restaurant without what? A tie. There's good news. We just saw a tie salesman. He just left here. He's just over that hill. If you hurry over, you can probably catch him. He'll sell you a tie. He'll probably even give you a tie for free, and then you're free to come back. Life is full of highs and full of lows, and that is the story of on the desert. Here we have a pilot flying high, enjoying the moment, then crashing. That's a low moment. Crashing in the desert, it gets even lower. Making his way through the desert and finding people, that's a high moment. Finding the restaurants, a high moment. Being refused service, a low moment. High, low, high, low, high, low. As we step into Exodus chapter 15, what do we see? Highs and lows, highs and lows, highs and lows for the people of God. Join me in our text. Where are we? The people of God have been in bondage in Egypt for hundreds of years. That's a low point. A new Pharaoh comes in. He's very hostile to the nation of Israel. A low point. They are enslaved. A low point. But then as we make our way into the chapters just before where we're at today, we see the beginnings of the Exodus. Israel is allowed to leave Egypt. That would be a high point. They make their way to the Red Sea, and if you're familiar with the Bible, you know what happens. They're trapped at the Red Sea, and here comes the enemy again. That's a low point. They're trapped. They're doomed. They're in trouble. And God tremendously works as we come into chapter 13 and 14 and delivers the people of God. They have a celebration there on the banks of the Red Sea. Kind of this tremendous worship experience. Verse 1 of chapter 15. They sang this song, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Verse 6. "Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." It consumes them as chaff. Verse 10, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. A great high, a mountaintop high for the people of God. And then the story continues. And let's pick up that story in chapter 15, verse 22. "Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the desert. And 3 days later, they found no water." What's the title of our study this morning? I need water. And wherever you're sitting, wherever you're watching, I can tell you, you need water. You need physical water to survive life, but there's another water that you need. And today is the day that you can discover that water and find its life-giving beauty. Highs and lows. In our story of the pilot, highs and lows for the people of God in Exodus 15. Highs and lows in your life. And the need continues to be what it is. We all need water. As we work our way through the Bible with the people of God in Exodus 15, we might assume, conclude, that the lows are done for good for the people of God. I mean, they've experienced a lot. And in our mind, we think they deserve better. They deserve no more problems, no more issues. The lows are done and the highs are here to stay. Nothing is farther from the truth. As we look at the Word of God, as we make the connections to our life, we find that the Word of God brings us balance, it brings us hope, and it brings us direction. I need water. You need water. And we need an everlasting water, and we're going to find it right here in this book. The truth that we're going to build on today and everything centers around is this. Life is lived out within the Rocky Mountain highs and the Death Valley lows, but never minus a present and powerful God. Highs and lows will be a part of your life, but a present and powerful God will never leave you and never forsake you. What do we need to remember, and what can we learn about this present and powerful God from Scripture today? Let's look at three truths, three God truths. Might call them sky-high God truths this morning. Number one, in verse 22, God tests his people with mountains, with deserts. He tests them. He tests us to, number one, reveal our thirst. And not just simply a thirst for physical water, but our thirst for the things of eternity. Our thirst for a relationship with God. God wants us to grasp our thirst temperature and our thirst need today. They are brought out into the desert, into a barren place without water. They're thirsty, and God brings them in verse 23. They came to a place called Marah. There's water there. And we think, end of story, a happy ending. But at Marah, the waters were bitter. So they grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? Why have you brought us here?" They have a legitimate thirst need, physical thirst. But there's an even bigger thirst that we're going to see revealed time and time again in Scripture with the people of God. They needed to up their spiritual thirst. And they also needed to walk in a greater trust and appreciation for the God of the Bible. What were they thirsty for? What were they trusting in? During the desert exodus, often within view of a recent mountaintop experience, a mountaintop moment, God's people typically grumbled, slandered their leadership, attacked their leadership, and lost an accurate memory in a crisis. Crises have a way of revealing our thirst level for spiritual things. Will we be distracted? Will we be disconnected? Will we avoid the reality of the situation? Will we look away from God? Or will we look to God and move towards Him? The word Marah there in your scripture is a Hebrew word for bitter. You can still visit those waters today. They are known as being very bad waters, kind of a very sulfurous smell. You wouldn't want to drink it. And yet that is where God first took them. He took them there for a reason and for a purpose. It was for their benefit and for their spiritual growth. God tests His people with mountaintop experiences and Death Valley lows to reveal their thirst and also to provide for their thirst. So often the people of God would forget the unforgettable. They would focus predominantly only on what they could see, only on what they felt, only on what they wanted or coveted. And that is a very dangerous response and a very dangerous condition. And really, that's the response we typically take as human beings. And God lovingly gives us some directions and reminds us to come back to the directions and readjust our thought life, readdress and the choices that we make, and to look at our spiritual thirst thermometer for God. God tests His people. Number one, to reveal their thirst. Number two, He tests His people to move their feet again. Over in verse 22, they are led to Marah. They are without water. They find bad water. God performs a miracle if you work your way through the story with Moses, and there at Marah, the people have their physical needs met. It's part of a test, and there God made for them a statute and a regulation. There He tested them. Verse 26, if you'll give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on Egypt. For I am the Lord, your healer. Remember that. God is your healer. And as you go through the highs and as you go through the lows of life, remember that we have a compassionate God, full of grace, full of mercy, wanting to bring healing into your life. And today, for whatever the challenge you're facing, whatever the disconnect there is with God, you can find healing through the words of God and the God of the word. In verse 27, the story's not over. Then they came to Elim, where there are 12 springs of water, 70 date palms. And there they camped beside the water. God tests his people to reveal their thirst. God tests his people to move their feet again. God does not intend to leave his people where they are today. Not in Exodus 15 and not in 2020, the spring of 2020. Here we are in the middle of the United States of America. And God is not wanting to leave us where we're at right now. And he brings stuff into our life, and sometimes big stuff, and sometimes challenging stuff for a reason, to move our feet, to move our feet forward with him and for him. We need water. God will supply our needs. Imagine the people of Israel as they were there at Marah, and now they've gotten good water. And they get the word that they're supposed to move out. And I'm like, well, why would I want to move from here? Things just got going good. I'm happy. Let's leave it where it's at. Let's stay here. We need water. Here's water. God says, I know what you need. I know you need water, so you need to leave this water and move out where there is no water so you can see again that I will provide for you. It's time to get moving again. God always has a plan for his people. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this body of believers, and it involves moments and it involves movements. There will be some sky-high moments, mountaintop highs in the future, and there will still be some Death Valley lows. There will be those moments where we celebrate. There will be the moments when all we can do is fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and hold on tight, remembering that he's holding us tighter. There are moments and there are movements. And God wants the people, his people, to move forward. Again in the scriptures and again in our life. And he wants us to move forward this week with him. He wants to move us to move actively in submission to his plan. And sometimes we don't know all the details and the intricacies of his plan, except this: get out of bed, look at the word, and take another step forward. It's called faith. It's called being faithful to the one who is faithful to us. And here is where, wherever we're at today, as we're here on this campus or scattered around the world, we need to move our feet. And we ask ourselves, how are our feet moving in this crisis? Couple of mountaintop truths. God works to reveal our thirst, to satisfy our thirst. God works and wants us to move our feet to get where he wants us to be. And he'll drop some directions into our movement to help us along the way. And lastly, verse 27, God tests his people with mountaintop highs and desert valley lows to celebrate his undiminished supply. To celebrate his undiminished reply. Have you ever been in the store lately? Have you been to the store lately and you were looking for something and you couldn't find it because the shelves were bare? That's kind of a new experience for us to go through on a regular basis. We're not used to that. It's a tad bit uncomfortable. And think about, you're looking for something and you see someone else going down the aisle and they've got that something in their cart. And what are we thinking? Praise God, they were successful. God has a way of revealing our heart and challenging our heart. But never forget this. God has an undiminished supply and a heart that we cannot measure. But God doesn't waste his resources. He doesn't waste his resources on his people. He doesn't waste extra when enough is enough. God promises, I will supply all your need. God never runs out of stock. And he wants us in these moments and in the moments ahead of life to remember that Jesus Christ is active and alive in this universe, in our life, and he wants us to be alive, always living in view of eternity. So he gives us enough, just as he promised, enough to survive, enough to trust, enough for us to be faithful. I need water. I was given enough. I was given enough for today. That is the testimony again and again of the people of God in Israel. It ought to be our testimony as we move through life. The place of Elam was very different than the place of Mara. Mara, bitter. Place of grumbling. Place of complaining. A place of foggy memories. Then we get to Elam. Elam is just about 7 miles away from Mara. You could walk there in about 2 hours. If you're on a motorcycle, 10 minutes. For some of you, 8 minutes. Just close by. And Elam is everything that Mara wasn't. It was like that beautiful oasis that our pilot stumbles across. Plenty of water for that huge group of people, a beautiful oasis, and you don't need a tie. The beauty of Elam is more evident after the disappointments of Mara, after the disappointments of the Red Sea, after the disappointments of life in Egypt. The beauty of Elam is even more awesome and magnificent. As we go through life, as we deal with the desert valley lows, the Death Valley lows, it helps us appreciate the mountaintop experiences more. And it calls the people of God to be a celebrating people of God. You know, it is amazing what has happened in the last couple of months and last several weeks. You know, Satan has not won the battle. Someone said, Satan has silenced the churches. Yet, this service is going out in about 5 different venues. We have people tuning in from all around the world in the last 30 minutes. The word of God is going out farther and far more than it has in months previous to this. But here's a wonderful thing. It's going out personally into your life right now. And God is wanting to speak into your life. This isn't just a dusty old book that maybe has some history in it, but that's it. This is a personal love letter from the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And he's calling out to you. He says, I want you to evaluate your spiritual thirst. There's probably been some victories in the past, but there needs to be victories this week. I want you to up your game. I want you to come to what I provide for you and drink deeply from it. I want you to drink deeply from me. And there will be enough for today. But don't worry, there will also be enough for tomorrow. Life is lived out within the Rocky Mountain highs and the desert Death Valley lows, but it is never lived out minus a present and powerful God. But we need to be connected to that present and powerful God. So let me ask you, do you have peace with God? Peace with God that will make it through any circumstances of life? Your peace isn't rooted on your circumstances. Your peace is rooted in the character of God. God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take your place, to be your substitute. The cross is a reminder of God's love for you, for all of us. The empty tomb is a reminder of God's power. That God has conquered the grave, conquer death, and he can conquer anything in your life. He is the God of peace. He is the God of healer. And so he calls you, he invites you, he invites me to come. And maybe we need to come and be what we sometimes call born again. Admitting that we're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and inviting Jesus Christ to come into our life and save us, receiving that free gift of salvation. And you can do that right now, where you're sitting in that chair, in that seat, the comfort of wherever you're at. You can find the peace of God that will help you in any time of discomfort. For those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ already, this text reminds us we need to come to the living water every day and drink it up, consume it, and share it with others. There will be enough for there's enough for today, there'll be enough for tomorrow. We do not live a life without a present and powerful God. So, drink deeply from God's refreshing water today. There will be enough for tomorrow. In your mind, you may even want to say it out loud right now. God, I need water. I need your spiritual water. And I'm receiving it right now. I'm taking it in right now. And I'm thanking you for it right now. And this week, I'm going to spend time in your word. I'm going to spend time with you, and I'm going to move forward, take steps forward for the glory of Jesus Christ. You know, as this story ends, it really doesn't end. We move into chapter 16 and verse 1. And I'm thinking, hey, I'd just be happy to hang out at Elim the rest of my life. But we move into chapter 16, and Jesus, or God, directs his people, it's time to move again. It's time to move out into the next chapter of life. And in just a moment, those who are here on campus, you're going to start your engine, your car, and you're going to move out and move out into another week. Take the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Wherever you're sitting, get up and take another step for Jesus and with Jesus this week. Father, we thank you for the peace of God that is real in this global crisis, that is real in our personal crisis and major and minor discomforts throughout the week. We are reminded of how desperately we need to stick close to you. We are reminded how we need to keep our eyes focused on you, and it is so easy to look back, even at good things, and miss the beauty of you today. We claim your promise that you will supply all our needs according to your heavenly riches. And because of that promise, we commit ourselves to stepping forward in faith, trusting you for the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.